Well, I wish to speak to you on the subject of the mission field before us, being a witness for Christ in our community. And so if you would, please turn with me to Matthew chapter number 4. As I give you five reminders as we witness in our mission field. What is your mission field? Well, it is Bremerton. It is here in this city. It is the cities that surround Bremerton. It is Seattle. It is Washington State, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. So as we stand together, we look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. The Word of God tells us, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Our God, again, we ask that you'd bless the reading and the teaching of your word. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Open our understanding, O Father, to our great responsibility of being a witness unto the communities around us. Father, help us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Five biblical reminders as we witness in our mission field. The first point this afternoon is know. K-N-O-W, the word knowledge, to know. And as we come to this text, we need to know what God wants us to understand regarding being a witness in our communities. You see it there in our text. And Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So when it comes to being a witness, when it comes to being a light in our communities, we need to know Jesus Christ in salvation. That seems very simple and very elementary. But it needs to be said that this commission and this duty is for believers. It is not for the unconverted. It is not for those who are without Christ. This has been given a great responsibility, yet a great privilege for those who partake in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to know first and foremost that this command is for those who are saved. And I cannot pass an opportunity up even just now to ask you, are you saved? And do you know Christ? Are you a Christian? And are you following the biblical Christ? It is not the Christ of the Latter-day Saints. It is not the Christ of the Catholic Church. It is the Christ of the Bible. Amen. And I'm afraid many times that we just assume that just because somebody walks through the doors of the church, that they're saved. And we just assume that because they even hand out a gospel tract, that everything is okay between them and God. But we must understand that the Pharisees, oh, they professed God with their mouth, but the Bible says their heart was far from the things of God. And so perhaps when it comes to the witnessing, you're focused on the externals to get you to heaven. You're focused on the doing to get you to heaven. And the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. Has there been a time where you've been greatly convicted over your sin? You've understood that your sin has offended a holy, righteous God. You've understood who Christ is. You've understood what He has done on the cross, that He became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so we must understand this is elementary, that this command is for believers. This command is for His children. We must also know that His command applies to all believers. I think many times Christian thinks, well, this is just the job of the pastor or the preacher. Witnessing and going out, handing out gospel tracts and being a witness to the community, that's for the missionaries and that's for the pastor, and we can just pray for him as he goes. No, this is a command for all believers to obey. Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Acts 1:8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So, Christian, you must understand as we look at our text here that if Christ has called you by His grace into salvation, know that He's called you into this great duty of being a light and being a witness to those that surround you. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Also know this, know how God's purposes are accomplished. I think Pastor Houston went on my iCloud and looked at my notes a little bit as he's preached, and many of the points that we'll just be briefly reviewing this afternoon. But know this, know how God's purposes are accomplished. Think of William Carey, and as he was scolded by another pastor, as William Carey's heart and his desire was to see the innermost parts of the world come to know Christ as Savior. And the senior pastor points his finger and says to William Carey, sit down, young man. If God wants to save the heathen, He will do it without your help or mine. Carey did sit down, and he penned a famous inquiry into the obligations of Christians to use means for the conversion of the heathen. Well, this man who was rebuking William Carey, he didn't understand that God uses men, that God uses mouths, and God uses the Word of God that we distribute. And so know this afternoon that God uses us. We are His mouthpiece. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How shall they hear? Without a preacher. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we must understand this afternoon when it comes to the mission field before us of being a witness for Christ in our community, we must know Christ as Savior. We must know that His command applies to all believers, and we must know how God's purposes are accomplished. Secondly, we must go. You see, in our text here in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, and they straightway, verse 20, left their nets and followed Him. We must not only know His command, but we must be obedient to His command. Telling others about Jesus Christ is not an option, it's an obligation. Declaring the gospel is not a suggestion to be considered, but a command to be obeyed. You see, in our text, they left their nets and they followed Him. And so we may know that the world needs the gospel. We may acknowledge it with our lips, but it is not good enough if we simply know. We must put feet to our lips and feet to what we believe, and we must actually go ourselves. Notice here in our text who we follow as we go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we follow Jesus Christ as we are a witness to our communities. Again, we are not to follow a fad or a program that seems to be successful in the eyes of men. We are to follow Jesus Christ alone. And following Jesus Christ is following God's ways, God's methods, and God's Word. The truth of the matter is, you cannot be a fisher of men if you are not a follower of Christ. Right. Pragmatism, disregarding Bible truths and Bible doctrines, seems to be the wind of compromise in our day. Let us not talk about the justice of God. Let us not talk about the holiness of God. Let's just sweep repentance under the carpet if we can. Let us not talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us not talk about the second death. All those things scare away people. Oh, we must understand. And we must preach all of Scripture, and we must preach it in truth, and we must go. Notice the phrase, and I will make you. If you follow Christ in obedience, He will make you to be instrumental in seeing lost souls obeying the gospel. Do we not see this? And who is Christ talking to? Simon Peter and his brother. Peter, a man, surely, with a bold mouth, many times. But who made Peter into such a bold preacher? Oh, yes, he fell. Yes, he denied Christ three times, but he also wept. And he preached one of the greatest sermons that we have ever known at Pentecost. So you say, well, God can never use me. I've done too many things against Him. You don't know my past. Can I encourage you to look at Peter's life? He wept. He repented. And the just man falls seven times, but gets up again. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You say, yes, but the person I'm trying to witness to, they knew me 20 years ago. They knew what I did 5 years ago. Don't let the Satan give you those doubts. If you've confessed it to God, if you've asked Him for forgiveness, go on. Just as Peter. And we see the grace and the long-suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ and why He chose Peter out of all the disciples at that time. Oh, surely we would have thought Christ would have chosen the beloved John to preach such a glorious sermon on the day of Pentecost. No, God chose Peter, and I think He did that so we would have that picture of Christ, the long-suffering and His patience and His forgiveness. Know this, that Jesus alone is capable of making us to be the witnesses that we ought to be. Our task is to yield to Him, to trust in Him, to follow Him, to obey His commands, to be sensitive to His Spirit's leading and guiding. And then Christ says that He will make us to be fishers of men. And you may come to God with excuses like Moses. Like, I cannot speak. I'm a slow of speech. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not educated enough. I'm a new Christian. I'm too shy. I don't have the personality. Oh, can I encourage you? Put all those excuses aside. And remember what God said to Moses. Moses, who made your mouth? Surely I will be with thee. I have called you, Moses. I am commissioning you, Moses. Go and remember that I am with you and I will work through you as you yield yourself and as you obey. The work is not your work, Moses. It is my work, but I'm calling you to be the mouthpiece. I'm calling you to be the leader. And so do not come with excuses. Oh, no, come with trust and faith in God. Yes, God, if I yield to Him, He will make me to be a fisher of men. I recall being at a church and on the back side of the door, it says, you are now entering the mission field. And I like that. You may ask yourself, well, where do we go? Every time you leave the doors of this church, you are in the mission field. Again, you don't have to have a passport to be a missionary. Now, this is the mission field. And we thank God that God has brought the mission field to us. And you just come to South Seattle and you see the various cultures and the various languages and various ideas there. It's a few years ago, they deemed Columbia City as one of the most diverse zip codes in all of the country. And so we praise God for such a time as this. We praise God for such an opportunity to reach out to the world in our own backyard. And so where do we go? As fishers of men, where do we go? Here it is. We proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ where the fish are, where the people are. I'm so thankful for ministries such as the nursing home ministry and jail ministries. And we go to these places because that's where people are. I'm thankful for door-to-door ministry. And we go to street corners. We go to bus stops. We go to public parks. We go to the marketplace, as Paul did. We go to your neighborhood. But remember this, don't marry a method. There are so many opportunities to go out and preach the gospel and to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we get in a box and we think, well, this is the only way to witness. No, there are many ways to witness for Christ. But be a part of it somehow, whether it's the nursing home, whether it's a jail ministry, whether it's going door to door, whether it's a busy street corner. Go to bus stops. Those are great places to talk to people about the Lord. They're not going anywhere. They're waiting for their bus. Go to public parks, especially on a nice sunny day like this. People are outside. They need their vitamin D. And so go out and talk with them. And you're a mother and you have children. What a great opportunity. We've had many opportunities, my wife, to talk with other mothers and wives there at the park and talk about children and school and what have you. Just a great opportunity to be a witness. Go to the market. Go to your neighborhood. I'm afraid too many times we don't know our neighbors. We don't know the person across the street or beside of us. It's such a weird thing to me in America that we don't know. Even an apartment complex, who lives above us? Who lives beside us? What are their names? How many people live in that house? Well, we don't know. And so make an earnest effort and use holidays as a great opportunity for outreach. Make a plate of cookies and bring them to your neighbor. Put a track inside. Invite them to church. There are so many ways that we can think of to proclaim the gospel. But first and foremost, no. Second, go. And third, so. I've made this easy. I've rhymed all my points for you to remember. So, sow the seed. Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible tells us in the parable, the sower soweth the word. So we heard this morning, it is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Jeremiah describes the word of God is as a fire that burns in the bone, is as a hammer that crushes the rock in pieces. So it is the word of God that sows in the hearts of men. And so we are to sow the word of God. And I mark this down too. Remember this quote, soul winning is seed sowing. Soul winning is seed sowing. Again, we leave the results up to God, but how much are we sowing the seed? A sower goes out to sow the word, to plant, if you will, the seeds in the ground, and we leave it in the hands of God to give the increase. And soul winning is simply seed sowing. So when's the last time you sowed the seed? You handed out a gospel tract. You invited somebody to church. When's the last time you spoke of Christ? And so witness, and under this category of sowing and witnessing, can I encourage you to distribute gospel tracts? Spurgeon said this, a telling, touching gospel tract may often be the seed of eternal life. Therefore, do not go out without your tracts. The prince of preachers, he who wrote that great work, The Soul Winner, he understood the importance of God's written word and even just a simple presentation of the gospel, the word of God on a piece of paper, a gospel tract that you can hand to others. And so never underestimate the power of a seed. There's a man that we know up in the Everett area. He used to live in Florida. And he was a part of a gang down there, a mafia, if you will. And he was making a phone call in a phone booth one time. And somebody left a gospel tract right there. And that was the means to his conversion. A gospel tract with the word of God on there. And he cried out to the Lord. He understood his sin. He understood. He was caught right in the middle as he was about to make the phone call of this drug deal. He saw his sinfulness. He saw the Spirit of God enlighten his eyes to eternal life. And who knows who left that gospel tract, but God used it. So never underestimate the power of a seed. Carry gospel tracts in your pocket. Carry them in your car. Ask the person at the drive-thru, can I give you something to read? Can I invite you to our church? What are your plans Sunday morning? Won't you come to our church service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? Invite others to church. And listen, as you do this, remember this. I cannot recall the last time the United States of America where somebody handed out a gospel tract, say in a Walmart or a Target to a cashier, and they say, can I give you something to read? Here's a gospel tract. I can't remember the last time somebody was martyred for doing such an action. I don't remember the last article that I read that a Christian was bold enough just to hand out an invitation to church or a gospel tract, and they've been martyred in the store because of them. We have, listen, church family, we have freedoms that we take for granted. And if we're not careful, these freedoms may pass by us, and they may institute a law where they don't allow us to go door to door anymore. They won't allow us to go on the street corners anymore. And so we must redeem the time because the days are evil, and we must be bold in our witness, hand out a gospel tract, carry them with us, redeem the time. Strike up a conversation. A simple question breaks the ice many times. Do you ever think about life after death? What's your church background? Are you afraid of dying? Just a simple question gets men to think. And do you have a Bible? Can I ask you, what are your religious beliefs? Just a simple question that you can strike up a conversation and seek to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see the illustrations here. The Bible describes us as fishers. It also describes us as laborers here as we sow the seed, as farmers. So farmers and fishers, farmers must work and wait. They toil. If you know a farmer, they are hard workers. And they're up at sunrise and They don't go to bed till the sun sets. And they are hard workers toiling, but they must wait upon God to send the rain and allow their crops to grow. And so it is with the fisherman. The fisherman gets ready, he gets his equipment ready, and he casts the line into the water, but he must wait upon God to put the fish on the hook. Fishermen must be patient and persistent. So we must be earnest in prayer. We must be persistent in our witness for Christ. We must be patient. And then again, we must be prayerful. Spurgeon said this, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for." Here was a man who had compassion for his people and for those around. He said, if they go, oh, may they not go unwarned and unprayed for. And can I also insert in here, as we're talking about sowing the seed, as we're talking about being soul winners and reaching others with the gospel of Christ, can I place a warning in there? And the warning is this: be careful of the Pharisaical mindset that says that witnessing is the measure of spirituality. There are many churches and Christians who believe this. Well, how many tracts have you handed out this week? Well, I handed out 10. You did none? Well, I'm more spiritual than you are. And so we must be careful of not having that Pharisaical attitude. And we must understand spirituality comes from Christ-likeness, abiding in Him, yielding to His Spirit. And yes, this is a command we must obey, and you cannot be Christ-like unless you obey His commands. We certainly understand that. But again, as Pastor Houston noted this morning, it is not that we would pat ourselves on the back and we would remember Psalm 115, verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, but for Thy grace and for Thy mercy. It is for Your sake and for Your truth's sake, not for us. Not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, not so that we can condemn the publican over here and we say that we have done this and we have done this. So we do it in humility as we go out in soul. We do it in love. We preach the truth in love. Fourthly, we must show. So we know, we go, we sow, and fourthly, we show. Matthew 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." So as we go out and sow the seed, we must not separate it from showing the love of Christ, showing the light of Christ to a lost and dying world. So let me ask you this afternoon, how do you behave towards other unbelievers? Do you merely just put up with them? Do you forget that lost people are going to act like lost people? And so you're a little shy, you're a little apprehensive of approaching them and preaching the gospel. And because you're so angry and you turn on the television and you see what happens in the news and you just say, well, let them perish. Where is our compassion? And Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. Again, Jeremiah's eyes affected his heart. Know this, many do not go to church or read their Bibles, but they're reading your life. And they're watching your profession of faith and they're seeing if it is genuine. They are observing the things that you say and do. So again, be ye holy and show forth the praises of Him. Walk in wisdom and let your speech be seasoned with grace. And it is such a heart for those who sow the seed. Can I invite you to church? Would you read this? And the next time they're cussing out their wife in the next line. Wait a second. Hypocrisy. I can't tell you how many people I meet that say, well, you just don't understand. Christians are hypocrites. And I understand. There are goats amongst the sheep that call themselves Christians. But what a shame it is for those who are truly converted, truly know Christ, and as they are going forth with the gospel, they're not living in a manner that is pleasing to God, and their testimony has ruined any opportunity to share the gospel with that person. So we must show the love of Christ, and we must be the examples. God has called us to be. How do we show the love of Christ to others? Let me give you just a few examples. Hospitality. Invite your neighbors over for lunch, for dinner. At least seek to. They may say no, it may take them a while, but hospitality. People who come to visit the church, hey, what are you doing for lunch? Well, what are your plans later this week? Can we invite you over to for a meal? And having somebody in your home is a great way to show Christ and to share Christ with others. And so show hospitality. Also, get to know others. You have places that you go on a regular basis and you see the same people. Maybe it's the bank, the teller at the bank. Maybe it's the grocery store, a coffee shop, at work, a restaurant, a barber shop. Barbershop's a great place to witness. Unless you're afraid that they, if you say something wrong, they might put a Nike swoosh in the back of your head. Your neighborhood. You go to college nearby. Try to start a Bible study. I'll find a few people. Hey, would you meet me in the library? Can we find another believer? Can we start a Bible study? And so there are my wife, I'm thankful for her. And she goes to the grocery store and she tries to find the same teller every time she goes. And just slowly witnessing to her and talking with her about family, getting to know others. There's a young man, his name is Jamie. He's at the Wells Fargo Bank in Renton that I've been just talking with. And just get to know people's names. They really appreciate that. You going out of the way and remembering their names. What are the names of people that you're seeking to win to Christ? What are the names of the tellers that you meet? Do you remember? Do you know? Do you care? And you go to the coffee shop. You see the same people every week. What are their names? And but nevertheless, be genuine. Can I say, don't be a hermit. And make an earnest effort to go among the people. Again, to the parks, to the bus stops, to the nursing homes. Just go out. You have various groups and associations, karate class or what have you, you're involved with, sporting teams with the kids. Get to know parents. Just don't be a hermit. Get out of your shell and preach the gospel. And God will bring others along your way as you're being faithful to this command. And I love this. Oh, several months ago would have been last spring. I was on a street corner witnessing to three Muslim men. They used to call them Mohammedans. And they're everywhere in South Seattle. And I was witnessing to three Muslim men on a street corner for 20, 25 minutes. And then Don comes walking by, and he says, excuse me, are you evangelizing to these three men? I said, yes, sir. He says, what church are you from? I said, Beacon Hill Baptist Church, and gave him our church information. He says, I think I'm going to come to your church tomorrow. I was going to go to another church, but I think I'll come to yours. And he's been with us ever since. Came that next Sunday, and he's been ever since. Now, I was focusing on three men, and God sent another person just by being faithful. And it's nothing of me. I didn't reach out to Don. He came over to me. That was totally of the Lord. And he's been faithful ever since. And so we go out and we're obedient and God will send even others our way whom we don't even know. You're fishing for trout. God may bring a salmon. Right? That was Brother Russ with the fish finder. You have to listen to the message. And as you do that, you'll encourage others in the faith. I don't want to be the hero of the stories. I'm not trying to boast myself to be something. When you're out and you're on the street corners of Seattle and you just sometimes are harder than others and you get more fruitful times than others, but those times that you're harder than others, the Christians will come up later and say, thank you for what you're doing. You've encouraged me today, and you weren't thinking of that at all. And go, and as you go, you'll be a blessing to others. And I'm so thankful again for the men who come on Friday night, and their witness helps my witness, and their boldness for Christ helps my boldness for Christ. Again, iron sharpens iron. And so we go out, and we do this to encourage one another. So show the love of Christ. And then fifthly and lastly, grow. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. And that is the end result of missions and evangelism and witnessing in our communities, that God's name would be glorified. And so as we know, and as we go, and as we sow, and as we show, we must grow. And the truth of the matter is, you cannot grow spiritually while disobeying the command to share the gospel, to labor for souls in prayer, to give financially so that others could go. It's an impossibility. People wonder why I'm not growing in my Christian walk. I'm not growing to know the Lord better. Well, are you financially supporting missionaries so they can go? Are you praying for others around the world as Christ has commanded us to pray for laborers? Are you being a witness yourself? Are you preaching the gospel? Are you looking for opportunities? It's an impossibility to grow or to grow in grace and the knowledge of the gospel and of Christ if you are being disobedient in this area of our Christian life. You want to know Christ? You want to be used in His work on earth? You must be faithful in this area individually and as a family and collectively as a church. And so we say grow, lastly, because as we go out and as we are a witness for Christ, we grow in our love for the unsaved. You want a burden? Just go downtown Seattle and walk in Pike's Place Market. Just rub shoulders with lost people and see their sad condition. And see the sorrow of their hearts, though they may smile with their faces. Just go among them and grow in your love for the unsaved. Grow in knowing the Word better as you present the gospel. There are many times people bring up arguments and people say things and you're stumped and you forget the verses and you forget the best way to speak with others. And then you go home and get back in the Word of God. And you grow in your knowledge of Scripture. You grow, and next time, I'll know. That man asked about the Trinity. And I stumbled. Okay, so what can I go? I go back to 1 John. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one. Yes, I'm going to memorize that next time. And you go out and you grow in your faith. As you fall, as you stumble in your witness, you're actually growing. And because you get back up and you look to how to be a better witness later. And you grow to be bolder. I should have been more bold. And how many times we finish an opportunity of witnessing to others, I should have been more bold in my statement for Christ. I should have been more passionate. I should have understand this is truly a lost soul before me. And I just let it go. And, well, God is growing us and He's gracious and He gives us opportunities later to grow in our boldness. And as we go out, we grow in our faith and dependence upon God. And we grow in our prayer life. Oh God, open their hearts. Oh God, convert this city. Oh God, help me to know You. Help me to be what You've called me to be. And so we're growing as we are done talking with others and we bring their names before the Lord. And we grow in our prayer lives. We grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ by crying out for the souls of men. So we know, we go, we sow, we show, and then we grow. May God empower us and strengthen us to be a faithful witness among the mission field before us. Let us remember 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you faithful in this area of being a light, of being a witness for Christ? Maybe you've never handed out a gospel tract ever in your life. You've never opened your mouth boldly and just asked somebody, you ever think about life after death? Whom do you say Jesus is? Tell me your church background. You've never even just sought opportunity. Oh, can I tell you again? God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. Leave today and ask God, God, give me an opportunity. Open the door. Help me to be bold in my witness for Christ. Give me a love for souls. And as we remember this, the key to fruitfulness is faithfulness. So you desire the fruit may abound. Well, be faithful. Be faithful. And trust the Lord. As you know, as you go, you sow, you show, and then ultimately you grow, and God is glorified. Father, again, use these words. Lord, I'm convicted in my own life and how I need more grace, more compassion. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd use all of us as this faithful minister, the stewards of the gospel in our community here in Bremerton, Seattle, Washington State, the United States of America, and all around the world, oh, Lord. There are people that you put across our paths. And, Lord, help us to redeem the time. And, oh, Lord, that you would open hearts and that we would be fishers of men, that we would keep our eyes upon you, depending upon you. And, oh, Lord, I pray that you would bring many men to Christ here in this church in the days to come. I pray, Lord, for these missionaries to New Guinea. Oh, Lord, we pray out and we cry out for the New Guineans, how that they might know you, and that through the ministries of these missionaries, oh God, that you would bring many to know Christ as Savior, and that they too would take this duty and responsibility, and they would go forward to their families and to their villages, and they would be the witnesses, that the light would be shed abroad in our hearts first, and then also in our communities. Lord, help us. We ask in Jesus' name.